So it's recording.
Okay, good. Won't be on till I think we schedule for.
Take it away.
Okay. We had a unanimous vote in from the student liaisons about contacting Shilpa, and she's, and I'll read a little bit now. She's a health wellness consultant, coach, mentor, author, entrepreneur, mother, wife, daughter, classical dancer, reader, researcher, and learner, and a darn good homeopath. She trained as a homeopathic physician in India, graduating as a Bachelor of Homeopathic Medicine Surgery in 1997. And her background helped her to correlate the best of the conventional and homeopathic models for her clients. For the course of the last 15 years, her journey as a homeopathic consultant, coach, and lecturer, mentor, and supervisor with India and Australia, she's worked with well over 1,000 clients in various forms of sickness and disease in hospitals and clinics. Today she runs the Homeopathic Network, where she connects with over 2,000 homeopaths globally on a regular basis. And this is where she shares her successes and failures with the homeopathic community. Okay, with that, I want to thank Shilpa and for all those that have been able to visit and learn from your online academy, and those that are interested in her online academy, I'm sure Shilpa can give you information with that. So, hello.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, my first question
thank
is,
you,
you learned classical homeopathy in Mumbai, India, in a medical college, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, and it's different than in the United States where we just have homeopathic schools. Now, what prompted you to go into homeopathy? What was your interest?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Well, when I graduated, so we do homeopathy, or we choose to go into a conventional medicine or a homeopathic medicine or Ayurvedic medicine when we pass out our year 12, which is the HSC. And at that point in time, when I grew up in my house, in my family, with a lot of natural medicine, right, since I was a baby. And at some point in time, I knew I wanted to become a doctor. I knew I wanted to get into medicine, but I was convinced I wanted to do something much more. And having had a background in natural medicine, and one of my friends actually spoke about the effect of the mind-body aspect of medicine. So I had no idea about homeopathy as such. My family was all into Ayurvedic medicine and using lots of herbs. But I just thought this was something different in homeopathy. I think the psychology and the mind aspect and using medicine for that depth of, you know, healing really fascinated me. I think that was what prompted me to get into homeopathy.
Great. It says you spent about 5.5 years studying both medical and homeopathy systems. What was the hardest part of your study?
Wow. The hardest part, I would say, I think the medical part was easier. I think it was more about the hardest part, I would say, was understanding the mental, emotional state of a patient. And then being able to really go in, get to the depth, and find the right medicine. I think that was where I struggled the most, understanding the mental state. And then actually, and also being, when we were into the hospital, we were also exposed to quite a lot of different practitioners. So, you know, unlike what I realized, this is just, homeopathy is the same no matter where you go. It was in the hospital I realized that, no, it is not. There are actually different types and forms and ways and variations of homeopathy. And it's really, the definition is so, so broad spectrum. When you go and to a homeopath, you actually have to define what is the homeopathy, that treatment that you are taking from that homeopath. So I think that for me was overwhelming, fascinating, and also interesting. So the aspect of homeopathy really broadened for me in the hospitals. And that is where it became clearer to me that what is the type of homeopathy that I'm really fascinated by, but there are so many other options out there available. So yeah, that it was sort of work in progress, and there was no, it was a journey which started right since that point in time. So if you ask me what was the hardest part, knowing that there's such a lot to learn and then there's such a lot to go, move on to, it's a never-ending journey. I think that you would say at some point in time that realization made it much more, it was fascinating.
Awesome. And so you pretty much do the classical or Hahnemannian type of homeopathy then, is that correct?
That's correct. In college, I was trained into the classical sort of Hahnemannian. There were three or four different types of approaches that we were really drilled into. The Kentian, the Bonninghausen, the Hahnemannian, Bowers. So those were the three or four classical types of practitioners that we were trained in.
Fantastic. Graduation. A lot of students, they graduate and then all of a sudden they panic. So after graduation, were you prepared for the world right out of school?
Not really. I know it's hard to say when, people think after 5.5 years, you were just ready to take on because you've finished your degree and you are ready to now start your practice. And I realized how easy it was for conventional, colleagues and my doctor friends in the other medical world, and even in the Ayurvedic world, it was quite easy for them to get on and just start practicing. But as I thought, the learning hasn't stopped. There's such a lot to know, and I'm not ready. In fact, I didn't really know what it was that I wanted to do and what sort of way I wanted to practice homeopathy. So I think there was no way I was actually ready. In fact, I was more confused than when I started. After graduation, and then started a whole new aspect into what is it that I want to do and where do I want to really get started. So that was how I graduated at that, I think I was 22 then, and so I decided to just go on and get into the real clinical world. So that was the first time I left the hospital. I went in and I started working with different types of practitioners in my city. I was in Mumbai then because I was just not ready to practice yet. I started assisting people. I started assisting my favorite homeopaths at that point in time.
So your suggestion, what would it be for someone just starting out? They've just graduated and they're a little apprehensive about going into practice. What kind of tips could you give them?
Okay. The first thing I would really say is go on and learn from someone who you are fascinated with in homeopathy. I think that is the best you can do. Because when I started working, first, you would work with people where you were comfortable with. Somewhere down the track, as you're, working with homeopathy, instinctively you know what is the type of homeopathy that you really are aligned with. What is the type of practice that you want to do? I would say find somebody and go in and work with them if they are local or if they are in the same place, or go in and learn from them. And not just the theory part, I would say the practical part of what is it that they do on a day-to-day basis in their clinics. I think that for me was a complete new world. And that is also another revelation that the theory of homeopathy and the practical part of homeopathy are two different aspects. And the day-to-day working and management of patients is where the real learning happens.
Perfect. So how was your first year of practicing on your own?
Okay, so when I think I was assisting Dr. Sudhir for about a year, and I was working with this in Dr. Sankaran's group for that 1 year in Mumbai. And at that point in time, at the end of that, I think I had already started my practice. I had the confidence in about 6 or 7 months of assisting these, you know, wonderful people. I thought I was ready, because what I did was in the morning I went in and I worked with them in their clinics, mm-hmm. and in the evenings I started seeing my own patients. And the best part was, whenever I had a challenging case or something I was not clear about, I could always discuss with them. So that for me was another very important thing, which I think any new practitioner should actually go in, is to have somebody to brainstorm and help you, because I think that's the fastest way of just getting on and resolving your cases, or, you know, not getting stuck in there. And that's also a very great confidence booster. So that was how I started. So I had one specific approach that I used in majority of my patients at that point in time, and that was the Kentian or the delusional approach. That was the time I used it the most, and in my first year of practice. But the thing was, that wasn't the end. After that 1 year, I moved to a place. I met my husband, and we moved to a place which is about 200 kilometers, 300 kilometers from Mumbai. And it was a smaller place. And I actually went in, and we were in the outskirts of that city. I went in and decided to work in the local villages. So in my second year of my practice, when I started working and I decided to go and work with the local people in these villages, in the rural towns, I think that was one of my most life-changing experiences in homeopathy. Because what I realized is that what I had learned in my Mumbai clinic, in the hospitals, with the people in that particular area, was completely not useful when I was working in this complete new scenario, in this new group of people. They were complete contrasting to what I had learned. And I think that was the, it was frustrating, it was challenging. I was sort of, at the end of about 3 or 4 months, I had so many failures that I was really ready to give up, because it was hard to be not able to use something that you successfully used before in your life, to not being able to do anything with these people. And I think that gave me, that actually got me out of my comfort zone to look at other ways and other means and other approaches to be able to work with these people and farmers and their families. So I think my journey just continued. It was sort of, it started off in one particular approach and one particular way of homeopathy I was comfortable with, but that rural clinic exposed me to this complete new spectrum of homeopathy that I had never actually bothered to explore and touch. I mean, I knew Bonninghausen's method. When I was struggling in college and in the medical school with my mental states, Bonninghausen approach was my default approach. But in this rural clinic, even a normal general Bonninghausen approach wasn't working, because the cases I saw there were like, you know, really grave pathologies and, you know, people with really bad chronic, you know, malaria or splenomegaly or diabetic gangrene. So cases like that, which I had never actually expected to, unless I had a surgeon or unless I was in a hospital situation. So I thought it was beyond the scope of homeopathy. Those were the types of cases I was dealing with and had to make a decision every time whether it is for me or not. And at that point in time, I think it was very unconventional approaches in Bonninghausen's approach or beyond the classical approaches was what I started exploring. And that was my greatest sort of learning and growth as a homeopath. I think the rural clinic changed the entire perspective of homeopathy for me.
Wow.
learning in the trenches, so to speak. So
I know, yes.
You learned by doing. Kind of like being thrown in
That's
the water
right.
to learn to swim. Okay. Do you believe success
Correct.
In practice comes from success in treatment?
Okay, that's a good question. It is a part of it, but I think there is much more to successful practice than just success in treatment. I would say about 80% of it is how good you are as a practitioner, but 20% is a lot of other things. It's I would say it has to be, you know, how it's important for you to be able to grow and get out of your comfort zone, commit, and a lot of persistence. And even if you fall, the ability to rise above, I think those are the key qualities which also contribute a lot to success in practice. How easy it is for you to get out of your comfort zone, and how can you challenge yourself all the time and keep on working? So it's not just about successful treatment.
It's great. It's almost like we're taking. Okay, so you've got a very successful practice now. I mean, it's just, and I'm just really inspired by your zeal for homeopathy and what you're doing. What led you to go such on a broad scale?
Okay, I don't know. I didn't really start off thinking. If somebody would have told me what you would be doing in about 10 years' time or 15 years' time, this was not something I actually thought of. My dream at that time was to have a really good practice, to have you know, being able to have a very high success rate in my patients. And, you know, I just visualized myself to have a clinic with lots of patients, and I'm enjoying my practice and looking after these patients 24/7. You know, that was my little dream when I was 24 when I started. And it would not be far-fetched. That's what I saw all the other medical doctors in my, you know, hospital and clinic and area doing, and those were the types of practitioners I admired. So that's how I started. But I think because I moved out of Mumbai and I traveled in different parts of India and I saw different types of people, cultures, practices, and I just thought the potential of what I can do and the potential of homeopathy, it just explored and expanded for me. And then I think the connections and the communities I made me think there is such a lot to me and my homeopathy and my little dream. And I think then moving on there to Australia and now connecting with people in different parts of the world, I think if I'm on track there, the dream, it just happened that as I took one step after the other, the vision and the depth of where I can reach just kept on growing, and I simply followed that path. So today, I would have never, you know, if I had my own clinic and I was just the only homeopath working, I would have had only 24 hours or, you know, 8 hours in about a week every day. That's all my contribution was. But today when I'm touching and helping and training and connecting them to experts from different parts of the world, and then they are going there and working with their people, I'm indirectly touching thousands of people through that ripple effect. And I think that is very fascinating for me, to be able to train the leaders and the people who are out there doing things, and then they go out and contribute. I think that was the most fascinating aspect of, and that's what teaching gave me. And I think coming to Australia and being able to find my true strength of being able to teach people, and I think I love that part of my, I would have never been able to do that if I was just a sole practitioner working in my clinic. Teaching just gave me such a huge connection and a community.
That's true. They even say in college, if you really want to know a subject, try teaching it. And you now it's because sometimes you don't come up with the questions that others, and it's one of those things that really puts you on edge and puts you on your game.
And I
know.
You have a large,
yes.
a large following, both privately and online. And how is it possible to handle both businesses? Good time management?
Which... I always struggle. I won't say, you know, it's always, I'm constantly lacking time. But I think eventually in the last 1 year or something, I have been able to, you know, put in a lot of technology thanks to Atul and my partner who is constantly working on, you know, some systems or some things to automate things for me so that it's easier to reach out to so many people and to be able to keep in track of how and what's happening in different aspects of my academy and also my personal practice. And being able to also divide my days where I know what days I'm working with patients and what days I'm working on my academy and what days I'm just answering questions of my in my own courses. So I think that has helped me keep that balance. But yeah, it's always hard work and I'm always struggling. I won't say I'm perfect in that regard.
That's awesome too. And I'm going through some of the classes that you've had, online classes, Mastering the Boger, Boeinghausen Repertory, Homeopathic Breakthrough Course. The one I liked was Becoming a Multi-Dimensional Practitioner. That comes from experience, I could tell. And Strategies for Success, Simple Strategies. Complete Practitioner's Goals.
That's Jeremy's course.
Prophylaxis, yeah. These are...
Dr. Isaac Golden's course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's correct. So there are some courses I do personally, and there are some courses that I've connected with different experts, and then they make those courses for me, for the academy.
And then the course in homeoprophylaxis, that's Isaac Golden's course also?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm astounded. This is just fantastic. It's like phenomenal what you're doing for homeopathy. So I'm going to leave this to the open forum if anybody has a question for Shilpa. Are you ready for this?
Yep, that's fine. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Any questions? All right. Myra had a question for me earlier. She said, "You have what are the Yes courses about?
What are the courses? What is Yes course? Is that the question?"
Yes.
Yes. So Yes course is the platform on which I host my online academy.
Gotcha.
So it's just it's a platform which on which I can actually conduct these classes, and it looks after the administration and, you know, all the other nuts and bolts which are required to be able to, you know, host and deliver these classes online. And so that's the platform my partner created, and my academy is one of the academies on the Yes Course platform. There are many other different types of academies, but the homeopathic academy is the quest for minimum. That's what I host,
So how is that different from HomeoQuest?
Okay. So the HomeoQuest is the software which we had created way back when I was in my rural clinic, actually. So HomeoQuest is the name of the software which helps me find the best medicines and analyze cases. So it's a different, but eventually at that point, the name of my homeopathic business was HomeoQuest, but it was also the software. So if that makes sense. So HomeoQuest is just another name for the software. Whereas the Quest for Similimum is the name of the academy in which the courses are conducted.
Okay, so that's the repertory you use then?
That's right. That's the repertorial software which I use yes, to analyze cases. And it was created when I was in that rural clinic because I was always, you know, because there were about 50 to 100 patients who would line up in that little town at a given date on a given, you know, at a particular point in time where I would go in there. There were three or four different types of doctors there who would go in there, you know, take their cases, prescribe them medicine, then off to the next town. That's what we did on the weekends. So that was fascinating. And that's when the software was really helpful to be able to do that within those 10, 20 minutes that we got for that family which came in.
So on that HomeoQuest, the software, how many total libraries can a person get with that?
So how many libraries can you get?
Yes, with that included, you do the HomeoQuest and a share, and you'd pick with five people, and you'd pick up a different library. How many total libraries are there in that repertory software?
So there are about eight repertories, and then the rest are Metromedica. So there are in total, I think, about 40 volumes of repertories in Metromedica that you can get through the HomeoQuest community version, which is the free version. And you can increase your library when you share it with your friends. So that's, if that makes sense. So I think, and then you can also go in and, if you want the more contemporary authors, like Roger's Complete Repertory or Jeremy Scher's works, then that's the, you can buy them through the software. But otherwise, the other repertories, the Kens, the Bonninghausen, the Boricke, Bojo, Clark, Nair, and all these different repertories, you can get them when you share with your friends. Or there's also an option to buy them if you want to. But there are both options. So in total, there are 40 volumes.
That's great. I've used it in comparison to other repertory. I really like it. This really good for students and practitioners that are like starting out and not, you know, don't have the resources to purchase one of those $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 programs. This works fantastic. So
thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, it works good. So any questions out there on the software or the schooling that for Shilpa?
Is there a website that we can go to and find out more about this?
Yes, so for the software or for the courses? For the software, you can go to...
Everything, really. I joined about 3 or 4 minutes late. Also, the phone seemed to keep cutting out, so I'm getting a sort of sketchy version. But it was enough to keep me listening.
Okay. So the software, you can download it from homeoquest.com. So www.homeoquest, HomeoQuest.
I heard and you should be able quest and then a gap, and then that's the trouble. I can't seem to get it all. It's
okay. So HomeoQuest.
Yeah.
Yes. Dot yes. HomeoQuest. Dot com.
Oh, I got HomeoQuest. Dot HomeoQuest. Dot, and then I didn't get any more. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
that's
it's HomeoQuest.
So it's
www.homeoquest.com. Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
So you might be able to hear my phone a little bit better. This is Aaron.
I can hear you.
www.homeoquest.com.
Oh, okay. That's pretty simple. Yes. And there's more explanatory material on there?
Yes. So when you download the software, you would get an email to join the course, which is where I train you how to use the Bojo Bonninghausen repertory.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Using the software. Yes, so that's mm-hmm. a complimentary course as well along with that. And I think that would tell you everything that you need to know on how to use that software. So that'd be great, yeah.
And did this come from your experience in the rural clinic? I heard you say you worked in a rural clinic, and you said, and such was my method I expanded, but I never could figure out what that was. Is that this repertory now that we're
Okay. So in the rural clinic, what I realized was the method of using Bonninghausen's approach in a variety of different ways. You know, most of them I got from his lesser writings. And also
yes.
Bolger's Synoptic Key, that was another great book which I found really helpful to be able to prescribe on the pathological generals, which was fascinating, and the use of these two work. I think the Bolger-Bonninghausen repertory was my Bible then. It was so, so fascinating to be able to use that through the software, because that time the types of features I created within the software were to be able to help me find what I need within a few seconds. And so that's what I think most people would enjoy, and I think would help many clinicians, is the aspect of being able to find a rubric by just pressing a few buttons without needing to work through the technology aspect. So, and I teach the way I use that approach in my course. So I think you'll love that course as well when you get, and you should be able to use it through the software.
I understand better now. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, I just wanted to comment. I just wanted to thank you just for what you've shared, because I think what was most beautiful is when you were asked the question of what was the hardest part of being in medical school, and that your answer mm-hmm. was the mental of your clients, because I'm a naturopath and I use homeopathy, and I definitely feel that in using homeopathy and repertoiring people, I have become much more in tune with the mental state of disease. And I
mm-hmm.
think that's missing in traditional medicine. So even when I'm working with a client where we might be using supplements or something else, I now am better able to recognize that a digestive issue may actually be coming from a mental state and not really a stomach issue at all. And so thank you for sharing that. It both blew me away and made me smile.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the more you become, I think most of us as homeopaths realize that the causative factor of so many conditions and so many issues that we normally do not acknowledge to the mind, 90% of them are actually within the mental zone. And, you know, that's the major causative factor where it all comes from. So, and being able to find that perspective and get that insight into your cases is fascinating when you are a homeopath.
I think this is why Kent has so many. I mean, have you ever counted the mind symptoms in Kent's repertoire? Oh, my gosh, there are so many. I think it's the largest section.
That's right, the mind section.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Bonninghausen's approach which actually taught me, even though it's the biggest one, to not actually base my entire analysis on just the mind section, because with the Kentian approach, there is this pitfall where we can actually go and focus, because we are so fascinated with the mind, to go and get that aspect clear, and then we look at the physicals. But what gave me a better grounding was to focus on the physicals and use mind as an eliminating factor. And that's what I learned from the Bonninghausen approach. And hence, when I'm using my repertories as well, I would always make two different types of totalities. Where I would use the mentals in one sheet and the physicals in different, or the physicals would be broken down into different sheets, even in the mental, I would sometimes break down two or three different aspects of the patient in different sheets. And I think that whole perspective gives a good balance to the case. So yes, mind. So the mind is not more or less important, even though it's a causative factor, but to have that whole lateral perspective of a case and being able to know where the weight of the case lies.
Correct. Like in a clinic setting, you're not going to see a lot of mind symptoms. You're going to see just total acutes, traumas, that kind of thing. That's where the physical.
Yes, in clinic, you mean, it depends on what type of your practice is. If there would be most of the practitioners, homeopathic practitioners who are quite well set and have been working for a few years, would attract patients who have, you know, who would be ready to go in and talk about the mind or know that there is a mental issue which has actually created a physical issue, and they would come in and know what to do and what to talk. But I think the more you go to the grassroots and where people are not aware of what homeopathy is, and if you have that sort of a practice, then probably then that's when you would get people who would just be talking about the physicals more because they don't see that connection. And that was the insight I got in that rural clinic. And I think then when I was teaching homeopathy in Australia for the first time, because I had never taught before, for the first 7 years of my practice, I was a pure GP, a general practitioner doing homeopathy. But when I came to Australia and I started teaching, and then I got these questions from my students, it made me step back and become aware of what exactly I was doing subconsciously or not really conscious, but it helped me step back and look at, I don't want to mold them into one particular way of doing homeopathy or even my way of doing homeopathy. I wanted them to have a more unprejudiced way of looking at homeopathy. And that was when I really got everything out there on paper and created a template of classifying all these different approaches into four different stages. And that's what I call today the stages template. So that just came to my mind as to how I actually got that template out in the first place was when I came to Australia, and it happened on paper, that I just broke it down. These are different types of, and that's what I do when I have a patient today. My rural clinic taught me, look into what stage they are at or look into where they are at, and then you use an approach which they need, rather than looking into what do you know and what are you most comfortable with, and then you try and use whatever your favorite one is for every patient. I think that was the key for me, and my students taught me that, to be able to express it in the form of that template and then put it down in that little book which I wrote, when your favorite approach does not work. So if some of you are fascinated with what that is, you can just download that book, which is also a free version, when your favorite approach does not work, from the website.
That's the first thing I downloaded. Anyway, that's fantastic. Any other questions for Shilpa?
Yeah, I have a question. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Renee.
Yes, yes.
Okay. You know, I'm looking. I was late by about 10 minutes. I don't know what I missed before I joined. But I'm looking at your website. It says community version of HomeoCast Quest. So
that's correct, yes.
Multiple versions?
Sorry, say it again?
Do you have multiple versions of your software? Like community version is one. There is something else also?
That's correct. So the community version is the indefinite free version, where you have it's a repertorial software. And then there is another version, which is the HomeoQuest premium version, where you have a different, there are some advanced features like the quest feature where you can, in a way, repertorize directly from the Mater America. And then there are some other advanced, you know, features like remedy comparison and reverse Mater America and using kingdom filters and other sort of contemporary approaches in homeopathy. But the community version is all about the traditional classical approaches of Bodger, Boninghausen, Hahnemannian, and where you can repertorize and work out cases, if that makes sense. So there are two different types of versions.
So where do we find the information about that advanced version?
So when you join the community version, the advanced version is so it's a separate page. I can send you. So when you join the community version, you would get a link to the advanced version after you join the community version. Yes. Yeah, you would get the links as well, yeah.
Right, okay. Now, you say that you were in Mumbai and your experience in rural clinics were completely different of patients.
That's correct.
So how different they were?
Okay, so when you are working in a city, and especially when you are a homeopathic practitioner, in there, people would come to you. They would know what homeopathy is to start with. Most of the people that I came across with in Mumbai, because there is such a lot of awareness right from the start. So people who come to homeopath are already patients who have not found their answers in conventional medicine. And they have those deeper emotional psychosomatic issues where they come to you for, right? Mm-hmm. So you already have a spectrum of patients who come to you and walk in your clinic. They're ready to talk about the emotional state. They're ready to go beyond. They have not found their answers in the conventional medicine. And so you have a particular type of approach and a particular type of interaction with those people,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas mm-hmm. in a rural clinic, the first aspect is they might not have a local doctor. The primary health center could be a few kilometers away. So you are like their primary health physician. And so patients who come to you might not even have any homeopathic understanding. They want painkillers or they want, quick fixes. I want it right now. I cannot stop working, I need to feed my baby, I need to get back to work, if that makes sense. That's a very different way of approaching a patient. You have to actually make the choices for them, whether this person needs to be in a hospital tomorrow, whether the baby with dysentery needs to be given something right away, supplements. So you are like a primary health physician for them, and you have your task cut out. So I think that was the difference. That was a reality for me to be able, a lot of responsibility and a lot of testing my knowledge of homeopathy and expanding my scope. Sometimes there were conditions I would never touch in Mumbai. I would send them to a hospital because I knew there is much better scope for them in the hospital. Whereas here, they would not afford to go to a hospital. So I had to make, and they might not get to a hospital through the night, right? So I have to make a decision. Let's look at, and give the best I can with my homeopathy. And sometimes it worked, and I was like, wow, this is beyond what I expected homeopathy to do in this situation. So I was learning. At the same time, I was growing, so if that makes sense. So there was a huge contrast.
So something you did not learn in the college. Something you did not learn in the school, nor in Mumbai, and you basically had to use your knowledge instantly for some acute conditions.
Yes, we learned it in the hospital, but in the hospital you had other resources. Sorry, okay, I missed that.
No, what I was asking is that you mentioned that about 90% of the cases where we have, it's in the mind is Yeah, it's basically psychosomatic. But these patients, were they kind of psychosomatic or mostly physical based?
That's right. So there were mostly physical, sometimes physical issues, right? There was an organ, you know, somebody has malaria or somebody has infections. Somebody has a issue which is because of malnutrition or some deficiencies. So there were other aspects as well, other causative factors were in place apart from the emotional state, right? So you had to rule out and find out and classify and make a diagnosis and then work out what's the best I can do with or without homeopathy. Whereas in Mumbai, these were the patients I would always see in a hospital scenario, which is a different aspect because then you have other modalities already in place. The infrastructure is there for you to work with. Whereas here, the infrastructure wasn't there. That's the difference.
How was your success rate in rural clinic compared to Mumbai?
Yeah, so I really failed miserably in my first year. I was ready to give up homeopathy in that first year in my rural clinic. It was after I realized I needed to change my approach and after I realized I was missing out because I was fixed in my favorite approach of using a Kentian way or using some delusional way. When I changed my approach, the success rate increased. And that was the biggest aha for me. It wasn't about homeopathy. It wasn't about me. It was just my understanding and perspective and expanding my horizon. That was the difference.
So basically you treated patients from the same era as Bonninghausen and Bodger, where
probably
at that time Kentian was not there, the mind issue was not there, right?
I wouldn't say the mind issues were not there. I would just say it was a different stage and experience because the patients are in a different environment and the priorities are different. But you're right. In a way, I was just using approaches which were suited to where they were.
So now for us city folks, would you say that using Bonninghausen and Bodger's approach that you learned in rural clinic, we can get better success for acute conditions here in cities?
Why not? Absolutely. You know, sometimes for patients, not all patients, but for some patients who can be really caught up in the mind, like, you know, I would see some corporates in Sydney who would come with depression, but they're so caught up in their mind that it's really hard to even use a priority, you know, an emotional or what I today call a stage three approach, a Kentian approach in them, because there's such a lot of information, it's overwhelming, right? So sometimes you just get out of the box and use a basic Bonninghausen approach, and that works beautifully because you're not caught up in that whole story and that whole overwhelming situation. You can get out of that, look at a basic keynote, and work with them. So there are some patients, I would say, where a Bonninghausen approach would still work well, even if the major condition is in the mind.
Thank you for your response.
Okay, my pleasure.
Great. Any other questions for Shilpa? Sounds like
How is acceptance of homeopathy in Australia?
Acceptance in what way? I think it is similar. I think in most of the Western world, it is similar where it is not in the healthcare system. It's an alternative form of system. But for in the general public, I would say the acceptance is pretty good. I mean, the government and the medical bodies would have their own views. But if I'm looking at patients, and there is a huge percentage of people using natural therapies in Australia, and it's great to have people coming in and knowing. So from my perspective, I think the acceptance in the general public is quite good.
Okay, thank you.
Sounds like you wowed them. Sounds fantastic. And a wealth of information.
Thanks, Aaron. I was not sure what I was going to talk about, but it's great to have questions because it just helps me. That's good.
Oh, it's like fantastic. Wow. So your husband is he a programmer or? It sounds like you, one of the things said that you guys were talking like super, like biochemist or something like that. It's just like he's a scientist or something.
So he was in research and development, but he's not at all connected to medicine or homeopathy. He did his graduation in electronics and computers. So, yeah, it's a completely different world with him. So that's good in a way. We don't have that aspect which we can, you know, trade on each other's steps. But, yeah, he loves learning as well in a different form in the technological world, whereas my learning is more in inside, you know, into the psychology and the homeopathic and the other deeper world.
Oh, great. Well, I appreciate, and I know we all appreciate the work that you both put into this, the homeopathic training that you're giving. And, for that, again, thank you. So, any other
thank
questions?
You.
Okay. And we're going to go ahead and conclude this. And I want to...
Okay.
And I want to thank everyone for showing up, and just thanks for this great time we've had together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Okay. Shilpa, still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And I will be contacting you again on mail and... Again, saying thank you for your work and your tenacity on getting through tonight. I know it was kind of a hassle.
Oh, that's great. No, it was great, Aaron. Thank you for inviting me, and I really enjoyed it. It's fascinating to connect, and, you know, sometimes the questions just help you express things that you never thought you really knew or thought about, but it was nice to actually tap into everything and talk about things in my, the homeopathic aspect of my journey. Thank you.
And thank you. Okay. I'll have you have a good afternoon.
Yep. And you take care and have a good evening and good night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.